Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. And for today, we're going to name it Welcome to Locked On Ja Morant. A great, great night in Memphis on Wednesday night. And I have a special guest, one of my favorite folks when it comes to talking Memphis Grizzlies. That is GBB's own Parker Fleming. Parker, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I mean, you can't really complain after a Grizzlies win. And I declared it before the game on Twitter and to a few of my friends that tonight's game was the Parker Fleming Bowl, as the Grizzlies were taking on the Miami Heat, who I've been a very big fan of Heat culture and very adamant about it on Twitter, whether it's standing for Heat culture or wishing for Duncan Robinson to be a future Grizzly, the whole nine yards. And, you know, I'm really glad the Grizzlies came out and got that dub in the first annual Parker Fleming Bowl.
A better example, or let me ask you this question. Does it surprise you that this is yet another great example of just how special we have Ja Morant in place going forward with his all-around ability to impact a game, no matter how much we're struggling, no matter what type of circumstances that we have, just his overall impact to really make the difference needed to get these type of wins?
He's special. He's a special talent. He's, as the kids would say, he's built different. I mean, he's had buckets like this dating back to like early in his rookie year against Brooklyn last year in that third game of his career, and he's going toe-to-toe with Kyrie Irving. No different tonight. No timeouts. He went coast-to-coast against Jimmy Butler. Not only a bigger defender, but arguably one of the best two-way players in basketball. And he went length of the floor, short time left, and got a very tough bucket with his offhand high off the glass to take the lead against a very good team. And I mean, you know, you talk about game time, you talk about captain clutch with Mike Conley. I mean, with Ja Morant, I mean, there's not a name for it yet, but you had the slogan that he said tonight: when in doubt, call 12, he'll get you a bucket. So it's just unbelievable to see. I mean, it wasn't necessarily the most spectacular Ja game. It wasn't like the Bucks game that he had before the All-Star break, or that Wizards game, or that first game of the season against San Antonio. But he just showed that he's a guy you can count on when it matters most. And, you know, to win in the NBA and win at high levels, you need a guy like that. And it was so much fun. You really love to see Ja Morant go toe-to-toe with the league's elite, because he's fearless, and sooner or later he's going to be joining that crowd of the league's elite.
Parker has all he certainly has been leading the parade. Of course, you know, I'll let Parker get to all the great stuff that he does, but one of the great content, the sources of content that him and Connor Dunning do from 92.9 ESPN here in Memphis is Hoops Island. Parker has been leading the charge for Duncan Robinson Island to move over to Grizz Nation right in the middle of the Mississippi River for a while now. So it certainly was a great game for Parker, but he got to see it live. Just Parker, your overall assessment of the game, just an outstanding game, one that seemed like the old grit and grind days, but you know, one where our star stood out on multiple occasions to get a much needed victory for us.
Yeah, for sure. No, it really just kind of took you back to like the mid-2000s, early 2010s, and it was just a good old-fashioned grit and grind win. And I think that's kind of like what you got to expect, really, because the Grizzlies, obviously, they've really turned up defensively since really the return from COVID protocols, or really since Ja Morant went down with injury, but also too on the Miami Heat side, ever since Jimmy Butler came back from COVID, they've been the best defense in the league, and they were, I think, 10-1 in their past 11 before tonight's game. So it's an unbelievable win for the Grizzlies, man. And I know it wasn't exactly this masterpiece of the modern NBA, but it was just a great resilient win that really just highlighted a few things that really caught my eye, not just for the present day, but just of what this team could do going forward. I'm sure we'll end up talking about it later in the show.
You know, after the game, John Morant himself, and I think Coach Jenkins as well, they called it a sign of growth. And not necessarily, I think this game is that, you know, growth experience, but it shows just how much this team has grown. Miami came into this game, number one defense in the NBA, like you mentioned, over the past month at least. They took away the Grizzlies' strengths. They took away the paint. They took away Jonas. They made the Grizzlies pass as precisely as they could to find open looks. But yet, this team was able to make their own adjustments. They played the Heat style of basketball, and they still wound up winning with their star shining against Jimmy Butler. Just overall, I think that the reason why it's such a big growth game for this team is that even when their strengths were taken away, they still found a way to win. That's the type of steps you need to take to become a sustainable winner, don't you think?
Oh, easily, for sure. And I know you had mentioned Jimmy Butler. I mean, he played up to his standards, really. But also, too, I was terrified whenever Bam Adebayo was in the game. He really took Jonas out of his element, really, and honestly just kind of forced him out of the game in the crunch time. But no, I've just loved all the adjustments that they made. I think one of the bigger ones that they had made was really something that you've been talking about a lot on your Twitter account and on your show. It's just the perimeter defense. And with how suspect it's been recently, with the shooting that the Heat have, it could have been an onslaught from three for them. But they did a really good job of running shooters off the line, making them uncomfortable, putting the ball on the floor. And because of that discomfort that they showed on the defensive end of the floor, they're able to get stops and get out and run. And when the Grizzlies did that and ignited a 17-0 run, that really just flipped the game in its entirety because they took the lead and they really didn't look back. Even though it was close, like, they managed to hold on against a very good team for sure.
And I'm trying to get the final numbers in front of me, but I would say 5 or 6 minutes left in the game, the Grizzlies bench, you know, we always talk about, you know, how much of an advantage that they are. But tonight, you know, we saw the lineup of Tyus, Melton, Bane, Winslow, and BC, you know, especially with Justice and BC at the five. Tonight, that bench unit was able to outscore the Heat bench unit 33-19. You know, up to a point late in the game, but also 13 assists to just two for the Heat. So not only did we see the defensive value that this second unit can create, but we also saw just how in tune they are with the assists, setting up good scoring opportunities, and it truly made the difference in the game. The Grizzlies' offense was generated by their bench. It really seems like they're getting back to what we saw when we made our runs last year of being that really advantageous, you know, advantage to feet need to get quality wins.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that kind of gets to, you know, that point I was alluding to of what I really saw from that's going to benefit both now and the long term is just what I saw with Jenkins' bench rotation tonight. I'd been talking to a few people about the idea, instead of making this between which two guards going to sit between Bane, Melton, and Grayson, Why does that be any of them? And I thought it should have been Xavier Tillman. Don't get me wrong. I've been a big fan of what Tillman's done this season with just really the little things, you know, making the right leads, slipping in on the roll and getting easy dump-off shots or hitting the occasional corner three or making very strong defensive plays against positions 1 through 5. But I also thought for a team that's really just kind of needing offense, taking out a guy in the rotation who can just randomly go off for 15 or 20 a night, that's too valuable. And also one thing that it was doing too in terms of the offense is it was forcing Brandon Clark into the corner a lot more when he's really at best when he gets to rolling in the pick and roll and diving towards the bucket. And you're not really doing that when you have the spacing of Xavier Tillman or Jonas Valanciunas next to him. So I loved what they did tonight. Really just added a lot of good ball movement. And, wow, Brandon Clark's performance as a small ball five, I think he had like 4 blocks tonight. And he wasn't really doing it against, I mean, granted, Fresh is just a rookie, and he's still learning the game. I mean, he had a lot of minutes against Bam Adebayo as well. And just Clark's performance as a small ball five was great. But I know, I think the thing that's really thrown out there a lot into the common airwaves, I guess, is, well, where are they going to get rebounding if you're playing Clark at the five? And I think they showed it tonight with, I know Coach Jenkins mentioned it, the gang rebounding with De'Anthony Melton and Desmond Bain. Those two in particular were really strong on the boards, and Melton really changed the game with his attack mentality on the glass, but also, too, just creating turnovers as well. When you have a multitude of guys that can get into passing lanes and switch, and you have big men like Justice and Brandon Clark that can switch and pick and roll and still stay in front of guys on the perimeter, that's massive. And that's what really kind of – that's the advantage that small ball creates. Is, you know, you may be losing rebounding in a sense, but in today's NBA, you can get rebounding small five positions. And also, too, with how many different switches there are and how many different coverages are thrown, you can get those opportunities with opportunistic rebounding and creating turnovers. That's how you can alleviate the size issue in that sense.
Absolutely. And when you talk about that lack of, you know, obvious rebounding or logical sources of rebounding with Jonas or Tillman, you know, on the bench. The thing about it where the Grizzlies make it up is that they have advantageous rebounders at all positions other than, you know, the five with Brandon Clark where he can hold his own. But Bane, Melton, and Justice Winslow all have shown for long stretches and probably still do show that they're advantageous when it comes to grabbing rebounds from their different positions on the court. But when it comes to grabbing rebounds, another spectacular night grabbing rebounds from Jonas Valanciunas. We've talked about how his individual performance has been very good. We've talked about how well he's done for others over the past two shows. We're going to wrap up our appreciating JV segment talking about where he kind of is establishing and cementing his presence in the history of this franchise as a big man. It's time once again to reward our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. And for this week, we're going with De'Anthony Melton. De'Anthony Melton, since returning, he's had a few instances this year in which he has, you know, had to step away, health and safety protocols, among other things. There's been times where De'Anthony Melton, you know, even seemed to be out of the rotation, but it seems like every time that he steps on the court, Melton has made a key difference. And that includes his offensive progression, but also just his overall two-way ability and his ability to really change momentum with the plays that he makes. And the reason why he's so good at defense, so good at causing turnovers, that's what brings him joy. That is a part of the game he takes pride in. You know, he talks about his connection with Tony Allen at times and just the joy that he gets from being able to play that style of game, to make those type of big impact plays, to make it to where the Grizzlies are going to have a chance to win. It brings him happiness because he knows that he's contributing to his teammates' success, and overall that creates enjoyment for the team. Just like we've talked about everybody else, all of our former Michelob Ultra Players of the Week, they have happiness and enjoyment playing with each other. And for De'Anthony Melton, the joy comes from his style of play, but also playing with his teammates. So I can tell you this, De'Anthony Melton, he is our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week, and it's because of what he's done on the court. But he's just the latest example of a Grizzlies player who, if you ask them, are you happy because you win or do you win because you're happy, he'll gladly tell you that he wins because he's happy. And I can tell you this, something that you'll enjoy and will make you happy and that'll bring joy to your fandom is enjoying a nice glass of Michelob Ultra while you enjoy the Grizzlies game. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Joy creates success. Joy, enjoyment isn't the end game. It's the whole game. It's all about the journey to make you enjoy the destination even more. De'Anthony Melton has certainly enjoyed his journey to becoming a better player under Taylor Jenkins and with this roster, with hopefully the destination long-term being a player who really can continue to contribute to the Grizzlies. And for that reason, he's our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. Today's the day. The NCAA tournament starts today, and if you're someone whose fandom, you know, is enhanced by the ability to, you know, wager, put a little bit of money and bet on these type of events, I've got them one place that you can trust when it comes to all your betting needs, and that's betonline.ag. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL, UFC, football, or baseball on the horizon, they're all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way for you to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. And if you head to the website or you use your mobile device and you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you will be able to get 50% off on your initial deposit. That's 50% off on your first deposit at BetOnline. Again, visit BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts, and put in the promo code LOCKEDON to get 50% off your first deposit. Betting on the Grizzlies doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag wherever you get podcasts. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So if there's any better compliment to me of the impact that Jonas Valanciunas is making, a clear positive impact for this Grizzlies team. It seems like that besides just in general taking the pain away from the Grizzlies, the number one defense in the league over the past month, their focus was taking away the presence of Jonas Valanciunas. Tonight he was, he was 3 of 5 from the field, only 7 points. His double-double streak did end, but 12 rebounds. But what did that tell you just about how consistently good Jonas has been, that such a talented and effective defense focused on taking him out of the game, out of all the starters that the Grizzlies put on the court?
It's just crazy. It really just shows how elite he is at rebounding. Because I didn't think this was a good Jonas Valanciunas game. He got phased out a little bit on defense, and then Bam Adebayo just made it life really hard for him in the post, and they threw a lot of defenders with length at him in the post as well to just get him uncomfortable and get the ball out of his hands. But the fact that he could still, despite all those circumstances, still make an impact on the glass, it just shows that he's elite. And the elite players at whatever skill they is, they perform in those areas each and every night, whether it was Tony Allen's defense or even Zach Randolph's rebounding or Mike Miller's three-point shooting, just kind of putting it in the sense of like franchise history and stuff. But it's really cool to see. And, you know, it kind of shows that even though there are some nights where defenses and offenses could phase Jonas out of the game, he's still going to make an impact in the modern NBA because he's a bully ball rebounder that can find easy opportunities in pick and roll or in the post or off putbacks. That's how I would put it, at least. He's just elite at rebounding.
This is correct. This season, I believe that he is, I want to say that he is 5th in the league in rebounds. He is 2nd in the league when it comes to offensive rebounds outside of Clint Capella. And he's now, I believe, he was 2nd coming into tonight in second chance points behind Enes Kanter. But the other thing about it is, you know, I had mentioned this on Twitter either, you know, earlier today or yesterday, Parker. I honestly do think that when it comes to the Grizzlies, when you look at the top 5 big men that it played for this franchise, I think you can confidently say this. You know, Powell, Mark, and Zach make up the top 3. But I truly do feel that the next 2 on that list are Jaren and JV. I understand that that the numbers are not there because of how short of a time that they've been there. But the overall impact and natural talent that they played with, I think they're in that top 5 discussion. Do you think that that's fair to say about both Jaren and JV so far in their careers as Grizzlies?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, given also, too, there's one thing to think about, too. The team's only been here in Memphis for 20 years. I do not include Vancouver Grizzlies in any of these lists because you are a bold-faced liar if you actually watched Vancouver Grizzlies basketball before they became the Memphis Grizzlies. Granted, I was a baby when Sharif Abdur-Rahim and Bryant Reeves and Mike Bibby were repped in Vancouver. But, yeah, I would definitely say that Jonas is a top 5 big man in franchise history. And I wouldn't even argue with you if you were to say Jonas Valanciunas is a top 10 player in franchise history. When you think about it, just his consistent productivity each and every night. I mean, he wakes up, rolls out of bed, and gets a double-double. But also, too, his rebounding, he puts up rebounding numbers that rival Zach Randolph. And I just think his impact as a rebounder, just really kind of being a rock and a for the Grizzlies' offense and on the glass for them is massive. And I don't think anybody's really talking about it this year, but he's low-key having a career year, boasting career highs in both scoring and rebounding. And it just shows his willingness to adapt and his overall skill level to be what most people consider an old-school big man who's in his upper 20s, thriving in the modern NBA. It's really cool to see. And I know I've gotten into some beef on Twitter when they first acquired him, because I was like, oh, he's valuable. But people are kind of questioning his fit into the modern NBA and all that stuff, and if he was actually any good. And I think he's showing that now. I think getting what you get from Jonas Valanciunas, especially at the contract they have him at, it's a heist. It's been awesome.
Absolutely. You know, he's been a bargain. And, you know, if we want to sit here and talk about high leverage situations, playoff situations, you know, we'll see what the future holds. But the final thing that I'll get your opinion on is kind of what I talked about yesterday, Parker, is that, you know, we hear all the time about one way that he compliments Jaren is because he takes care of the small things that Jaren may struggle with, rebounding, the physical bang of being a five, just, you know, also, you know, being able to kind of limit fouls. But the other thing is that I think has really made an impact this year is what he does for Ja. The space that's created, the chemistry that's there, the basic, a lot of times being able to kind of clear space for Ja getting into the lane. The other thing that I think is underrated or not talked about enough when it comes to Jonas is the fact of how much he complements and improves the overall effectiveness of our two young cornerstones for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, absolutely. He opens up driving lanes for Ja Morant in the pick and roll and gives him an easy dump off for a bucket. And for Jaren, he's really, granted, I know the whole narrative isn't the same because Jaren's been out all year, but he really protects Jaren from playing the five, even though I'm always adamant that Jaren Jackson Jr. will be a five when it's all said and done. But Jonas allows you to ease into that, and you don't necessarily have to make Jaren a full-time five, but you can just have him be a crunch time five instead, and he really makes life easier for Jaren on the glass because he shores up Jaren's rebounding deficiencies in a way. So I think, and also too, I mean, he does that for everyone. He just opens up lanes for anybody to attack, whether it's Dylan Brooks finding a shot in the mid-range off of Jonas' screen, or running up Anthony Melton or Desmond Bane or Grayson Allen for open threes. I mean, that's just the kind of stuff that he provides for this team. Like I said, he's the rock. You know, he's a real floor raiser for this team. You basically guarantee each and every night that if Jonas Valanciunas goes off, the team will not suck that night. Except for that OKC game. But that was, they just got defeated by Poku. You can't do anything about a Poku explosion.
Right. That is correct. That certainly is correct. Now, I've talked before about, you know, how the Grizzlies, when they shoot less than 25 threes in a game, surprisingly, I believe that they're, you know, 15-5 now. I've not really looked at it, but I would imagine that a big reason why they may be limited when it comes to those threes are because Jonas Valanciunas is going off in those games. But speaking of how the Grizzlies' rotations and their lineups are looking, we know Jonas certainly has his place, especially to start the game. Some interesting developments that came from Coach Jenkins tonight that I'm going to get into detail with Parker with as we wrap up this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. The first official day of spring is going to be at the start of next week, and of course it's been a crazy winter for a lot of us when it comes to weather, especially over the past few weeks all across the U.S. Hopefully your car has remained intact and in good standing, but the thing about it is that if there is parts that you need, I can tell you the place that you can go, and that's rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a wonderful place because it's easy to use. Within a few clicks of the button, you should be able to find what you need, and it's likely going to have what you need, regardless of the make and model of the part that needs to be replaced. RockAuto.com should have it. No matter your experience level, if you're someone that does your own repairs, you have people do repairs for you, or you do repairs for others, RockAuto.com is a very feasible resource because this is a family-owned business. They've been in business for over 20 years. They know that car parts typically fall out of budget, and so their prices are going to be very friendly to what you need to get done. When you visit rockauto.com, let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. We have been telling you about Built Bar, the best protein, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It's Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is Salted Caramel versus Cookie Dough Chunk. In my opinion, Cookie Dough Chunk is the way to go, but if you're someone that likes salted caramel, I don't think you could go wrong. Go to BuiltBar.com or at Built_Bar on Twitter to make your vote. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best-tasting protein bar at Built Bar. Get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA Draft with the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast, scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. So, Parker, me and you both, it looked like there were hints that Coach Jenkins was going to, he said he was going to change up the starting lineup. Well, basically, he went right back to the lineup that he's featured from the beginning. And there's reasons why, right? I've mentioned it. Others have mentioned it. You mentioned it tonight. When the shooter, especially Grayson Allen, starts next to Ja with DB at the 3, KA at the 4, and Jonas at the 5, they get off to great starts. They didn't deny, but, they were playing a great defense. But that shooter next to Ja has really worked, mainly because Bane and Grayson are shooting nearly 55% on their three-point shots in the first quarter. Your thoughts on the starting lineup and why it may be so effective, even if it may not contain our most valuable players?
Man, I could go on and on, to be honest. And I think the narrative that's really kind of annoying me is, there's the favoritism, obviously, within Grizzlies Twitter with D'Anthony Melton and Desmond Bane. And I'm going to be straight up honest. I think D'Anthony Melton should be the starter because I think it could unlock an entirely new level to his game that can unleash an entirely different potential outcome for him. But with that said, and also with Desmond Bane, he's a guy that you can see being in a Western Conference Finals for the Grizzlies. Though none of those things is necessarily true about Grayson Allen, and he doesn't have the upside of the ceiling that either those two guys have, he's still good. He is still a good NBA player, and he fits within Jenkins' system. He takes catch-and-shoot threes. He can put the ball on the floor and make plays for others. He has a really good shot diet, as in, if he's not shooting a three, he's going to look for something at the rim or in the paint. That's what you want in the modern NBA. And the stats don't lie. But prior to tonight's game, that starting lineup had a net rating of 17.5 points per 100 possessions. And that was a lot better than basically any other lineup consisting of Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, and Jonas Valanciunas by almost 11 points per 100 possessions. I know that Melton and Bane are probably better. I mean, Grayson and Bane right now are probably on the same level just because Bane has a lot more stuff to work on with just the rookie mistakes and all that. But Grayson Allen's still a good NBA player, and he's still a clean fit next to Ja Morant or Jonas Valanciunas, Kyle Anderson, Dylan Brooks. He's a clean fit. Now, is it the long-term solution? Probably not. But don't let it cloud any judgment or anything, because Grayson Allen's a very good spot-up shooter. He's going to put the ball on the floor, and he's going to limit turnovers. Tonight was not a good shooting night for him. We can largely tie that to just the looks that the Miami defense threw at the Grizzlies shooters. But, it is what it is. You're on the calls as well. Coach Jenkins has brought up looking at lineup data all the time with his coaching staff. And when you have a starting lineup with a per 100 possessions differential of positive 17.5, they're going to lean towards that. Come on.
Agreed. And, you know, there is a reason why the number's there. And you know, I'll say this, you know, you're correct. We're on calls together. And there was, you know, a game during the first half of the season. I forget which game it was. John Morant, I believe Grayson Allen spoke before John Morant, and they had an exchange before we started talking with them. And they were both just beaming. And Joe Mullinax from Grizzly Bear Blues and myself followed up off questions that we asked Grayson with Jaw, and they were both beaming because they were exactly talking about what me and Joe asked. They're growing chemistry together and how much they complement each other and how much Jaw feels Grayson helps his game out when they're on the court and vice versa. So that chemistry also probably is a big reason why it occurs. But one thing I want to get to is also the closing lineup that we saw. Now, we can, you know, I agree with you. De'Anthony Melton's the most valuable two guard we have. I strongly feel that that is the case. And tonight, in a defensive battle, that's what Jenkins committed to. Jaw for his offense, but then De'Anthony, Dylan, K.A., and B.C. at the five to allow for the Grizzlies to have a very good defensive lineup out there. And it made the difference with, you know, De'Anthony getting the steal, Kyle's play at the end of the game, B.C.'s game tonight blocking. But it's not just that. It's the interchangeable aspect of it to where you can also play Justice and B.C. at the five on the second unit. Your thought process on that closing lineup, the versatility that we have to throw out multiple closing lineups, and the ability to stop people in the clutch.
It's really just the pinnacle of my positionless basketball mantra, to be honest. Because you have Brandon Clark at the five, you have Kyle Anderson at the four, and then Dylan Brooks at the three, De'Anthony Melton at the two. But, you know, you have De'Anthony Melton doing big man stuff and going in and crashing on the boards. You have Brandon Clark just being active all over the floor on the baseline of the defense. You have Kyle Anderson maintaining good defensive activity while also doing a good job of hitting outside shots and creating for himself. And all that is really opens up the floor, too, for John Morant to work. Because you notice a lot of times that a lot of teams are doing now is they're not closing out all the way on the Grizzlies shooters because they're going to collapse in on the Jaw drive. And that's maybe why we've gotten this little judgment and stuff that Jaw's not as locked in or not as productive as he was last year. It's because the defense is, no matter who's on the floor for the Grizzlies, no matter how good of shooters they are just not giving them as much respect as they do John Morant on the drives. But when you have guys like De'Anthony Melton and Brandon Clark and Dylan Brooks and Kyle Anderson that can create looks for Jaw and that can create looks themselves and, you know, hit spot-up shots and just hit shots off passes, that's huge. But also, too, all four of those guys are very defensively interchangeable. And I think that's important when building lineups around John Morant to hide his really newfound defensive inefficiencies. I mean, he was really efficient defensively last year. I mean, different subjects. But, you know, they really compliment John both ends of the floor. And, you know, when you have a crunch time lineup like that, when you – truly, like, those five guys were the best guys on the floor in tonight's game, at least. And when you close with your best five, regardless of who's really, like, your overall hierarchy, and I'm really staying more in line with, like, JV in that, that's massive. And I think they did a really good job of just gelling tonight and making some very key stops and buckets and the little things, the do-something possessions to get this win. It's really awesome to see.
It absolutely is. And you do talk about positionless basketball. But, you know, the thing that I keep going back to is, you know, a quote that Coach Jenkins said at, you know, when he was coaching his 100th game, you know, he said that, yes, he's great. He's thrilled that this team is so opportunistic on defense, but he wants for them to get more consistent when it comes to effectively stopping people, especially one-on-one. I really think that balance is starting to be met, creating those turnovers, but when stops are needed, he talked about it tonight. This team wants three straight stops. There were 10 different sequences in which they were able to do that tonight, and every single one of them was significant in getting the win. Parker, thanks so much. I know that we have you on here frequently, but the reason why is because, well, speaking of an elite crowd, when it comes to covering the Grizzlies, you know, I certainly will say that Parker Fleming is on that level compared to anybody that covers the Grizzlies on a regular basis. He's got a lot of irons in the fire, but the reason why is because he always delivers himself when it comes to talking about the Grizzlies and covering them. Parker, where can folks find your work at, and obviously any great things that you may have coming up over at GBB or in other places here in the near future?
Well, first off, before I do that, man, I just want to give you props too. I mean, you're doing Locked On Grizzlies podcasts like 4 or 5 days a week, and you're punching out like 1 to 2 features a week on Grizzly Bear Blues, along with some game coverage there. You're on every Zoom call, whether it's a post-practice availability or shoot-around availability, pre-game, post-game. You're always there. So you're right up in the elite, too. I appreciate the praise, but don't sell yourself short, Sean. You're doing fantastic work. But you can find me on Twitter at @Paca_Flocka. Make sure you are reading Sean and I's content over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Go listen to the Core 4 podcast along with all the other podcasts on the Grizzly Bear Blues Podcast Network. Nathan Chester and I just did a top shot draft of all-time Grizzly moments that we would want as a top shot with Grind City Media's John Roser. I highly suggest you listen to that. And I got something cooking that kind of intertwines the past and present a little bit, cooking for GBB. You just got to kind of wait and see on what that is. But yeah, Sean, thanks for having me, and I'm looking forward to more crossover episodes of the Locked On Grizzlies and GBB.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Parker. If you'll just stick with us for another second, you can find the show at Locked On Locked On Grizzlies, myself at Sats SEC, me and Parker's work, as well as the entire excellent GBB family over at SBN Grizzlies. Can't thank Parker enough. For Parker Fleming, my name is Sean Coleman. An absolutely incredible night, a needed night, and a historic night when it comes to the story that is all the time developing of Ja Morant in this Grizzlies next gen. Just a fabulous night to be a fan of the Grizzlies. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.